I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. It's good to be with you. Had a little bit of an issue the other day. And for all of you, I tried to write on His Sign page that it only came across on In His Sign. And I'm not going to go into the particulars. We only have an hour today. But I will tell you, today it is actually on my Facebook page. So if you, I was getting so many calls that they wanted to hear it and watch it, so we put it back on. Of course, today you'll have my regular show, but you can also go back now and view Tuesday's program if you so desire. And many of you just realize you could go to any side and pick it up. So once again, let me say, Ajna. The enemy is always around trying to, throw his little things in, his little darts, but we don't fear the darts that fly by night or day. So we just went on with the program, and now you can go back and view it if you didn't move to In His Sign, In His Sign page. We play it for both. I just want to praise and thank God for a beautiful day. I want to praise and thank God for you. You are always, what shall I say, a light. You're always a beautiful gift that blesses my heart. And I just always have to say to God, I'm so grateful. I love that song, You Are So Good to Me. And He surely is. And He's good to each one of us who recognize His moving in the present moment. Recognizing that even when you weren't aware of His power and His everyday moving in your life, all of a sudden you begin to look back and say, well, that was you, Lord. That was you all along. And it's always Him. It's never us. It's always Him. He gives us free choice to accept Him or not. And I think it's beautiful when you stop and think, really stop and think that all of you are really and truly in ministry. Really and truly, you are my team of evangelists. And I am forever grateful. I am always looking forward to hearing from you, talking to you. My Tuesdays and Thursdays are a special gift to my life. God has blessed me and allowed me to, you know, just meet so many, many people that I wouldn't have known. So many people that he's brought into my life through the radio apostolate, you know, as well as through my retreat work or through conferences. And he sent me angels for sure. He's not only sent me angels, he sent me just a beautiful group of, I'll call family listeners, you know. Not only my friends, but my family tune in. It just blesses my heart. Can't say it enough. I want to remind everybody today, it's only an hour program, but it is live on my Facebook page, stream live. And I am always in awe of, so many times I'll come in and I'll see you're already, you know, you're already up on the line. And I look and I was like, wow, you're already waiting. And it sort of tickles my heart. So I just thank you for your fidelity. I thank you for your support, your prayer support. I have the best prayer warriors, bar none. And at any given time, there's 2,000 people praying. And I am so grateful for those prayer teams. But I'm also very grateful for each of you because I got the best prayer warriors ever. So let me open up the gospel today. Let me see here. I was just about ready to say, I love all my brothers and sisters. We all are created by one God. But it is, I'll put it to you, is it not a blessing to be Catholic? You know, over 2,000 years, we've been proclaiming and teaching and the good news. And through the years and, you know, our own, what should I say, humanity and weaknesses and so forth, we had a division between the East and the West. But God wants us, in the Mother Church, he wants her to breathe with two lungs, the East and the West. And we're all one in him, with him, and through him. You know, I often say, and people say, well, you know, it doesn't say this in the Bible, or it doesn't say that in the Bible. And there's a lot of words that we use in the vernacular today, and that was never used in the days that the scriptures were put together. But I just praise and thank God for our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, that's for sure. But we have a church that's also a healing church. Jesus left us the sacrament from the very beginning. And when he first appeared in the upper room, he gave the gift of priesthood. And he said, what you hold bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Very clear, very, you know, you couldn't mistake it. And he told Peter, he gave him the keys of the kingdom. And then through years, just like now, there's 45,000 different denominations. All man-made, they don't like this church. So they're going to go start their own church. And then they're with this church for a while. They don't like that, and they'll go start another church. And I'm sure they're, I mean, certainly they have the Word of God. Certainly they love the Lord. Certainly they're trying to live out their, you know, Christianity just as we are. But there was only one church started by Jesus Christ himself. And we're blessed when we fall and we stumble and we sin. God gives us the sacramental life of the church. Confession. And confession isn't just unburden our hearts or soul by going and confessing our sins. Because we're really not confessing to the priest. The priest, Christ is in the priest, persona Christi. And it's he who forgives our sins. And, you know, you don't, I say all the time, but we don't need to go to confession. We just go right to the Lord, period. That's wonderful. But did you ever hear the words? Go and your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Or, in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, I absolve you. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, I absolve you. The priest doesn't absolve you. Through the sacrament, through Christ in him, he is absolving your sins. So, sure, it's wonderful. I told you Tuesday, you'll have to go back and listen to it, but I was sharing a story about a man who had been away from the sacraments for so long. And he went back, found a priest, went and knocked on a rectory door of the church he went to when he was a teenager, and basically asked if somebody could hear his confession. And he said he felt like a newborn, just like a newborn baby, starting all over again, free and fresh and whole. And I thought that was really beautiful. And we all have that opportunity in the Catholic faith. We have that opportunity of the sacramental life of the church, not a symbol of Jesus' body and blood, but it's a sacrament. He is truly present, fully and completely present there on the altar. No more bread, no more wine. Enter the epiclesis. There's body of blood and the bread of Christ, body of Christ and blood of Christ. So not only does he heal our souls, but he strengthens our soul. He fills us with strength because he gives us his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And boy, I can tell you 100% unequivocally, he does what he says he's going to do. Everything he promised. We might not see it or understand it because he says our ways are, you know, his ways are above our ways. But when we seek his will, when we come closer to the heart of God, he fills us with a peace that nothing in this world can disturb. He fills us with a peace and a grace and the strength and the courage to continue to go forward, to continue to stand and know that you don't stand alone, but you stand in the name of the Lord. And it's he who fights our battles when we yield and surrender to him. So much easier. So much more freedom. And so I just for some reason, it's on my heart to share this today, and I am going to pull up the gospel. I would ask you to at a beautiful lunch with somebody very close to my heart, somebody very special in her life, and she wanted me to meet him, and I met him. And just a great guy, a beautiful man, a good man. And I just felt blessed. And so I've been praying for them especially. You can just call them Kathleen's special intention, that they would be one in him and come to experience the amazing grace and freedom. When we are weak, he is strong in us. When we wander off and we're lost, he comes out after us. He seeks us. He finds us. And he brings a deep joy and peace in our life. It couldn't come from humanity. It had to come from the living God. Remember, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And his humanity is what he went to the cross, suffered everything. But again, once he was obedient even to the cross and was, you know, rose from the dead in 3 days, he offered us eternity. But he gives us free choice. Life is eternal. My brothers and sisters, life is eternal. And I'm so excited that God gave us eternity. We have until he calls us back home to him, where we will give a full accounting. And in those years forth, we will spend it in eternity. Where we spend it, that's up to us. But he would have no one lost. He captures every tear we've ever cried. He's entered into every situation that we've experienced a sense of failure or experienced a broken heart, experienced despair. All the things in life that come that can knock us down, send some people into despair. They don't know how to get out. They spend a lot of money on pills and all kinds of things. And believe me, I'm not against medicine. I'm all for it. I feel medical profession is part of healing ministry. He gives them a little part of his healing power. But the bottom line is, only God can really fix us when we're broken. Oh, he loves us beyond anything that we can conjure up in our minds. He loves us. He loves everything about us. He created us before, you know, we were a thought in his mind before we were even in our mother's womb. We're his. He paid for us with his very life. No debt, no balance, paid in full. So again, I just want to tell you, so many religions have, you know, tried to reach God, tried to reach him somehow, get connected to heaven. But a Christian, our God came from heaven. He came down to us through the incarnation. He came to us to seek us so that where he is, we too might be. And if you ever forget how blessed you are, even in the worst of times, in the best of times, he's with us. The worst of times and the best of times, he's always with us. And, you know, I can't I tried to explain this one, so I'm not good at explaining it because it's without words. But to the few people I have shared this with, and it's very few, I literally have seen the veil pull back. Literally. I've seen those who have gone before us. And they're not dead. They're in eternity. Might not be able to see them with our eyes, but we know they're with us in our hearts forever. But they can see us. And they're praying for us all the time. You know, no prayer for them in their own life could be efficacious. It's, they can pray for us, but once their life ends on this earth and they enter into eternity, then it's up to us to pray for them. And so I hope it sends some word of comfort to those who have lost those people in their families, their children, their mates, parents, siblings, good friends, all kinds of loved ones. I started this saying this a few years ago. As a matter of fact, I'm putting it in a new book. And as of late, I've mentioned it on several occasions at conferences. I'll say there are no dead people in heaven. I mean, he says it with his own lips. He tells us that should give us comfort, that we will, you know, if we know the Lord and try to live out our faith the best we can, and we profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we're going to be with our loved ones. Because he loves us, because we're his first. We belong to him before we belong to the mothers that carried us in our womb, the father that gave the seed with her to come together to be born. He loved us first. And you know us with our weaknesses and our frailties. We try to be the best mothers. We try to be the best fathers. Try to be the best mates. But he is. He is the best father. He created us. And if we love our children when they're hurting, when they're wounded, when they're broken, when their dreams are shattered, their hearts are broken, we carry that and we pray so hard for our children. How do you think God feels when we're crying, when we're broken, when we're crushed in spirit? How do you think he rejoices when he sees us filled with the peace of Christ in the midst of all the turmoil that may be going on in our lives or around us or in our own lives? The suffering, the pain, the heartaches, the broken promises that many of us have experienced. He knows. He understands. No one suffered more than he did. He came to save his people and they crucified him. But he went to the cross knowing that he wouldn't accept him. And the scriptures always give a way out. Nobody could come to the Father except through the Son. The Son is Jesus. Or to anyone the Father reveals himself to. Through Jesus, we receive, you know, the life we have today. And we mess up. He's not a God of going to come down and crush us. He knows. He says he alone sees and knows every heart. He knows why we do things. He knows everything about us. And when we don't know ourselves, when we don't even know, like, what's my purpose? Why am I even in this world? What good is it? Nobody would even miss me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. But God, you're his first. You're his daughter. You're his son. You're his child. And he wants you to be with him in paradise. He wants to be together with you. That's why he came, to save us. He also tells us, he mentioned it in the locution the other day, that salvation is for all. But we have to accept it. He will not force that on anybody. It's ours to receive if we want it. It's paid in full. He paid the ransom for each one of us in full with his own blood. His own body being nailed and beaten, and he paid it in full. But it's for us to receive it. So don't ever give up on those people you think that would never believe in the gospel, or never believe that Jesus loves them, even in, no matter what they've ever done. If we repent, we go to him. He heals, he forgives, he sets us free. And how much he must rejoice when he sees that we live the gospel and we're trying to be his disciples. You know, the word disciple means student, one that's learning. Rabbis used to have their students that were preparing to be a rabbi in those ancient days. They would follow the rabbi everywhere so that they could learn by his example what to do, how to do it, what was all the things that the rabbi said, how did he do it, what were the prayers. And they were called, they were disciples, they were students. Just like today, you go in the seminary, you learn from the priest how to be a priest. You learn, they teach you, and you learn by example of watching what they do. You enter a seminary of any kind, you're there to learn, and as you do it by following, you know, the instructions and the example. So my brothers and sisters, I was just overwhelmed. Matter of fact, last night, overwhelmed with how much God loves us. Oh, I know he loves us. If there's one thing I have known, it's the most important thing. I know that I can never earn my way. It's all a gift, free. He did it for us. He paid the price. We don't have to. But one thing I have learned, no matter what I've ever gone through, been through, or God willing, hopefully I will remain that the rest of my life, however long that is that God loves me unconditionally. He won't love me more if I'm, you know, doing better. He won't love me more if I am more faithful. He loves me completely and fully. He loves me. And the life he gave me, I try to give back to him, thanking him for the gift of my life. And what he gave me is my life. But what I give him back is my life with thanksgiving, and ask for grace that I would decrease and he would increase within me. So we only have another minute. And then I will take a break and I will go right to the gospel. Again, hit your share buttons if you'd like. It's you who will send this out. And I praise and thank God for the gift of you being his disciples. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. Let me open up the gospel here. Before I go to this, I would ask that you remember especially Kara and Meg for that miracle to happen in their lives. And also, if you remember, I'm praying for a very special person that has is really in need of prayer. And I can't go into it anymore, but I lift this man especially to Our Lady, Mother, Priest. I pray for this person. It's a beautiful, beautiful priest. And I just ask a special blessing and anointing on his life. And I pray that God, in his love and mercy and grace, would hear and answer the prayer of this priest and for Our Lady to continue just to watch over and protect his priesthood. Okay, so this is the Gospel from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given yet. For to him who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but never understand. And you shall indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy and closed. And their eyes they have closed. They do not see, hear, or understand with their heart, and they turn away from me, where they do not even accept me at all. Truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. That's the gospel of the Lord. You know, St. Augustine, he had a beautiful, I always thought it was really beautiful, Perry. He always said, I believe in order to understand, and I understand the better to believe. You need faith for sure, but you also need reason. You need to be able to understand. And so that's why Jesus spoke in parables, because he knew their understanding was dull. They didn't want any parts of what he had to tell them. They were waiting for a Messiah to come as a king, as a ruler, to lead the people out of slavery, and they missed him. He came as a man. He came like one of us. And we missed him, because he didn't come the way we expected him to. He knew what they expected, but they had been so set on that they would never be open to a child born in a stable. They would never be able to see that with their eyes, even though they looked and knew a baby was born in Bethlehem. They weren't able to hear what all the people were saying, who bowed down in adoration. They didn't understand, how could this be? How could Jesus come? How could the Savior come, Meshua? How could he come as a baby, born like some little poorest of poor in a stable, in a trough probably, where, sheep and goats, and it was, they didn't even live in a palace, come in a palace, born in a palace. He was born in a stable. They couldn't accept it. They just couldn't accept it. And so the Lord sent his disciples out, and he told them, you're going to have to speak in a way that they can understand, that they can grasp it. And that's why I so often say to you, I'll share a story now and then to more or less emphasize the power of God's word, the power of his unconditional love, the power of his healing in our lives, no matter what we've done. He's always there with open arms to forgive us. The prodigal son, prodigal daughter. You know, one of the most beautiful things, and I'm a prodigal daughter, I know what I'm talking about. The prodigal son, what did he say? He was so hungry, he left, he spent all his money on prostitutes and wild living and liquor and all the rest of it. And he went and he wound up working, feeding the pig slop. That was his job. And he looked and he probably figured, what am I doing here? I had everything. I had an inheritance coming. I had a father that loved me. What am I doing here? Throwing slop at these troughs for the pigs to eat. And the scriptures say in this one line, and he came to his senses. Is there somebody in your life you're waiting for to come to their senses? Because they will. Believe me, they will. And we should be praying for our loved ones that way. They young people especially, they feel they'll come back at another time, and they're gonna live their life the way they want it, and when they get older they'll come back and they'll profess the Lord, follow him. But they have no idea because they're dull in their senses. They don't have any idea that in a blink of an eye, God could call you home. We don't even have tomorrow. We have now. God's outside of time and space. If today you hear my voice, he says, harden not your heart. I want to give you so much. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the healer of healers. He doesn't say he's going to send you somebody that will be. He says, I am. I am. And so hang all those burdens that you carry in your mind and your heart, as I say, hang them on the cross. It's where Jesus shed his blood for your children, for your family, for your friends, for your loved ones. And pray that all will come to their senses. What a beautiful, simple prayer. People so often go into all these long, long prayers, and all they have to do is pray that the people will come to their senses. That one sentence always struck my heart on the prodigal son. It's what happened to me. Oh, I love the Lord. I walk with him. I talk with him when I was a child. Talked to him throughout my life. I could hear him. And I loved this. I knew I could go to him and say anything to him. I knew I could speak whatever to him. Because I knew he loved me. And once your people that you're praying for really know that they love the Lord, and the Lord loves them, they'll come to their senses. And whatever has held them bound, whatever it is, maybe a wayward husband or a wayward wife, a child. Maybe they've left the church. Maybe they've even walked away from personal relationship with the Lord because their senses had grown dull. And yet they had no one to comfort them when they're really hurting. Not like Jesus can. They don't have anybody to renew them and to restore them and to forgive them and to set them free and to heal them and deliver them. Only God can do that. We can't fix our children. Sometimes we try so hard we do more harm. All we can do is what Jesus did with us. Love us where we are and continue to reveal the truth to them about God's love and his mercy. And that he has a plan for them, and it's written clearly in the scriptures. And one day, they will come to their senses and return to the Father, to your house, to their father's house, their mother's house. They'll come back to the Lord, your Heavenly Father. So we should pray that all would come to their senses. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I think if we really understood, that's key. I say there's two ways. The key to healing is forgiveness. And the other part of that key is love. When we know that He loves us and that He forgave us, then we're able to forgive others anything and everything. Because then we won't give anybody who has hurt us, wounded us, tried to break us, destroy us, ruin our reputation, take away everything that we wanted. When that happens, we'll be able to forgive those people. Not forget. Only God can forget. But forgive. Be able to forgive because God has forgiven us. So we begin to understand the gospel message, if you will, more clearly. The Holy Spirit enables us, I guess you would say, to see God's word more clearly, to hear those whispers in our hearts. They rise up within us, and then we can act on them. Just to hear the word of God is fine, but we're called to not only hear God's word, but act on it. Faith comes by hearing. So if people don't have ears to hear the gospel, no desire, don't want it, I don't want to hear it, don't talk about it, those very same people are going to be shocked when they found out time and time again that you or me or anybody out there who knows the Lord tried to tell them the truth. And the truth would have set them free. So I just wanted to remind everybody that we are called to grow in the knowledge of God's love, His truth. Jesus, He tried to warn His disciples. And when they couldn't understand Him, they said, Master, speak in plain terms. We don't understand you. And He told them parables or stories. And they got it. The light went on and they began to come to their senses. So much so that they were willing to lay down their lives. And they all did in the end. But to take the gospel to the four corners of the world. And they did that too. That's how you know the gospel's true. They wouldn't be tortured or they wouldn't have been beaten or flee from town to town. They knew it was the truth because they understood that in order to believe, you have to understand. And so, for all of our loved ones, pray this, Lord, that they would come to their senses because He will deliver them. He will heal them. He's close to the brokenhearted and He will heal their hearts and comfort their souls because He loves them more than we could ever possibly even imagine. You know, it's easy to love those that love us, right? But many times people get on alcohol or drugs or, altered lifestyles or caught up in lust or pornography or, you know, even eating disorders, whatever holds us bound. Only God can heal them. We can pray them into the kingdom of God. My mother prayed me right into the kingdom of God. I give her full credit for that. Who are you praying into the kingdom of God? Your children, your son, your husband, your daughter, your mother, your father, your grandparents, your friends, your business associates. Who are you praying into the kingdom? I want you to ponder that. Well, this 1 hour goes so fast for me. Disciples. You've heard me say it many times. We say we want to be his disciples, but we really want to be his advisors. We want to tell him how to do it, when to do it. But we don't want to have the patient endurance that brings about perfection in a soul. We want it now, like instant mashed potatoes. I want it now, instantly. His timing is so perfect. Oh, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he wants to love us into wholeness. He wants to give us strength. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, his joy. He hopes that his joy would be complete in us so that we would be strong, courageous, bold, learning to love more and more unconditionally, willing to forgive more and more, and not hold people bound. Forgiveness is the key to all healing. And that doesn't mean your hurts, your wounds, people sinned against you, people that tried to destroy you. That doesn't mean it's okay. It's not okay. But the Lord, that's his battle. He wants to redeem them too. But he calls us to be his wounded healers. He wants us to never forget where we were and where we are now. And to look always at others and remember, you weren't where you were now, either one day. So we have to be patient, but we have to hope. Hope conquers all fear. But when we place our hope in the Lord, the scriptures say we won't be disappointed. We can't hope and then say, I really don't believe. Well, then you're really not hoping. Faith is when we put our hope into action, to believe that will come about what we do not yet see. That's faith. To hope in what we will, that what will come about even though we do not yet see it. Hope never disappoints. Oh, he doesn't do things our way, that's for sure. Thank God for unanswered prayers. When I look back over my life, thank God so many of my prayers weren't answered. His ways are perfect. His timing is perfect. And he knows what we need more than we do. We know what we want. But he knows what we really need that will fulfill us. That his truth is a thing that sets us free. Free to be all that God calls us to be. He wants to bless us at work. He says, commend your work to the Lord, and he will bless it. I know that to be true. Commend your work to the Lord. I praise and thank God that you are on the way. I praise and thank God that I'm on the way. The catechumens, that's, you know, in those days, they were called the way. Christians were called to walk on the way. And that's how they were referred to in those days. Jesus Christ alone is the way. And for those who haven't come to their senses yet, we should be praying that they would. I didn't even open up the phone lines, but they're always open. You can call any time. But I look up now and I only have 5 minutes left. Can I get a call in the next couple minutes? We'll see. I always put a sweater on because it's cool back in here, but it is truly cumbersome. It gets caught in my wires. But anyway, Anita sends, she's got her love and her prayers. Maria Andrews, I praise and thank God for you. Kathleen, Lord God, save his people. Eve, Jacques, his love is everlasting. Amen. Michelle, prayers, handing. Let me see here. Let me quick go to the private ones. Great to see you today. Praise God for you. I praise and thank God for you. You know, let me look on here, my other thing. Hey, Jim. Good to have you on. Good to have you on. Good to hear, see you on today. I've been praying for your sister, right? And things looking very good, I hear. At any rate, I only have a couple minutes, so I can't even read the rest of them. But I want you to know, truly, oops, hit it too fast. I want you to know that this is live streamed, and I want you, I hope you will hit your share buttons. I always love to see how many shares and who shared. And I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job with that. Yeah, that's what you do. That's what evangelization is about. It's getting the word of God out. And it's never to give up on anybody. Ever. Never give up. Prayers are always answered in God's perfect timing. And oftentimes we can look back over our lives and say, oh, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer. You see, he's all-knowing, all-loving. We think we know, but he does know. And when we place our hope in him and our trust in him, it'll come about. I was said last night, had an overwhelming sense of God's love. And it wasn't just for me. It was for you. I was thinking of you. And he was just revealing to me how much he loves you. He said, go tell them, Kathleen. Tell them of my love. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them I formed them and fashioned them. I gave them their personality. I gave them the color of their hair and the color of their eyes. And I love them. Tell them to come a little closer. Because I want to use them to bring others to me as wounded healers. When you go out and tell others of my love, my unconditional forgiveness, and my mercy, then you are doing it for my glory and my honor. But you are also joining together with me, cooperating with my grace to save souls. I would have no one lost. It's up to them. Eternal light or eternal darkness, eternal life or eternal death. God bless. Don't go, we have a Dr. Raimondo on live. So next program coming up, beautiful friend of mine. And I told him one day when he was completely incapacitated, I told him, Anton, you're going to go and do, he was sharing about me and how a word I had given him, and I said to him, "You will do likewise." He said, "What?" I said, "You will be a wounded healer." And sure enough, he is. So I ask you to stay tuned for Dr. Raimondo and listen to his program. He always has a really good program. God bless you, and remember, you're missed if you're away from church. Come on home. God bless.
You're listening to In